This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the JoeyT Podcast. Johnny, Dave, and Steve.
Okay, well, welcome to another bonus episode of 2BT. This is The Reading Room. I'm Michael, and I got a box of books this week, comic books, from Paul, who you've probably heard in different podcasts. He's just started, actually, he just relaunched a solo podcast that he, under the name of Comics in Black and White. He's changed focus. It's just going to be him doing a few mini episodes a week when he has time. And, he's already put out three and they were really good. He's just going to cover what's on his mind. A lot of comics, a lot about different things. So yeah, it's really good. The name is changing to In Transit because a lot of the episodes he's recording in his truck, either on his way home or on break at work or something like that, or when he's just out and about. It seems to work really good for him. So be sure to check that out. And another podcast that's fairly new, Comic Talk Today by Martin. He's putting out anywhere from 3 to 4, maybe even 5 episodes a week, covering all kinds of interesting news. So be sure to check that out also. But like I said, I got a box of comics. Paul is a pretty good bargain hunter for different books. And he got a long box filled with old comics for a really good deal from his local comic shop. And he offered to send some to me. We negotiated a fair price. he's a good haggler. Basically, there was really one that I wanted, but he just packed a box up and sent them to me, and I was really happy when I got them. I mean, for example, one of the books I've got in here is, I can't tell the number on it. The edge is ripped. It's an old, Action Comics. Let's see. Action Comics 453 from 1975, November 1975. And it's a fun book. I got, let's see, Shazam, number 20, and, another Shazam number 21, some other older books, a Marvel Comics, Vault of Evil number 15. That was from 1974. Chamber of Chills by Marvel. The House of Mystery by DC. Secrets of Haunted House by DC. A couple of those. Those look like they're from early 80s, 1981, looks like. Then there's a really neat one that came out from Charlton Comics. It's Space 1999. I got issue number 1 of that. And what's this other one? Number 5. And that's actually based... This came out in 1975, and it was a British TV series that aired in America also, kind of after an apocalyptic event there in space. I haven't read those yet, but I'm looking forward to getting into those, and all kinds of good stuff. I got a Hanna-Barbera. It's a Gold Key comic, Hanna-Barbera Harlem Globetrotters, and that one looks like it is a 1974 issue. I got Adele Ghost Stories, and that's from 1967. A UFO in Outer Space comic from Gold Key, that's from 1978. Madhouse from Red Circle Comics looks really interesting. I haven't got to read much of them yet, but I'm planning on it. That's from 1975. I got a Flash Gordon from Whitman, another Whitman, Grimm's Ghost Stories. I got a couple of old Star Trek books that DC put out. These are going to be from 1993. Yeah. And several of those, an Atlas Comics, The Brute book. A lot of these are from the mid 70s. Star Trek Next Generation that DC put out. Adventures of Superman 505. That one was in 1993. Justice League America. Some more Superman. Richie Rich. That was put out by... It looks like Harvey World. I'm not sure of the year on this one. It looks like it's in the 70s or 80s also from the quality. I got a DC. It's a 30-cent book. Number 444 of Adventure Comics starring Aquaman. And there's a... here's a Marvel Comics book. The new Millie the Model. I don't know what the heck that's about. It looks kind of like an Archie comic. Another Aquaman. This is an Aquaman 441. Superboy, starring the Legion of Superheroes 210 from DC. That one is from 75. And on and on. There's a giant stack. I got the Ringo Kid from Marvel. All kinds of good books. And I appreciate them sending them. And I know this like the old comic books going in. We're sitting back and reading them. It's kind of like you're traveling back in time. But the one book that when he asked me if I wanted some, I definitely wanted one. And that's what I'm not talking about any of these today, but this is the one I'm actually want to talk about. And it's about Star Wars and Marvel. And so let's get going. We're going to dive into a little bit of Marvel Comics history, some Star Wars history, and see what we can find out and what this story's about. So let's get going. Okay, the book that I'm going to be looking at today is issue number 16 of Star Wars, the original 70s run that Marvel put out. And it's an interesting book. On the cover, it's a 35-cent book. Came out, has a month of October date release. It came out in 1978. This would have been a year or so after the movie came out. And it's got Luke Skywalker in the top left underneath the price and the issue number, holding a purple lightsaber, standing in front of a purple planet, out just standing in space. And it says, Adventures Beyond, the greatest space fantasy film of all. And then it has the classic logo of Star Wars, approved by the Comics Code Authority. And it's got a guy on the cover. It looks a lot like Frank Castle, the Punisher. Even so much that he's got a white skull emblem on his right shoulder. He's holding a big purple blaster rifle that has a bayonet attached to it. And all around him is just mayhem and smoke and fire. And then you've got these heads floating all around him. It's C-3PO, R2-D2, Han, Chewbacca, Luke, and this green rabbit guy who we find out later is named Jaxxon, J-A-X-X-O-N. They're all angry looking at him, and I was like, wow, this is crazy, because I'd heard about the Green Rabbit from earlier in the series. I'd heard people talk about it, and I did some checking, and this is actually the first book in the Star Wars series that didn't have any of the main characters in it. They're referenced a lot, and there's like a flashback scene where they kind of summarize the story of Star Wars on one just full page panel. I'll get to that. But really, it's just about these ancillary characters that they introduced. And this is the first appearance of the guy who's on the cover. And his name is Valance. He's a bounty hunter. About to get into all of this. Opening up the book, it says, continuing the saga begun in the film by George Lucas, released by 20th Century Fox. Now, the interesting thing about this is Lucas was really interested in promoting the first Star Wars movie. Just called Star Wars, then we know it as A New Hope. And in fact, the novelization of the book Star Wars came out, I think, a year before the movie. It was released then. It says George Lucas wrote it on the cover, still does, I believe. But really, it was ghostwritten based on the script by, I think it was Alan Dean Foster, who's written lots of movie adaptations and has several sci-fi books of his own out. He's had a long career. And, you know, much like when he was trying to get toy companies, if you've seen these Netflix series, The Toys That Made Us, he was really aggressive trying to get his movie out in different venues and different merchandise. And much like trying to get the toys made, he approached Marvel. He and his the people that were working with him approached Marvel, and I don't think Stan Lee was interested, because movie tie-ins just, I guess, didn't do really well back then. That's the argument. And at the time, Archie Goodwin, who most of you probably know who is, he wrote this issue. The art in this book was by guest artists Walt Simonson and Bob Wiacek, lettered by Denise Wohl. Bob Sharon colored it, and it has James Shooter, consulting editor. And this is early on when Jim Shooter had not been with, I don't think he'd been with Marvel for very long. And really, Roy Thomas, anybody that knows anything about older Marvel, really two things in the 70s that I know of is due to Roy Thomas. He was the first successor as editor-in-chief at Marvel, and he brought Conan to Marvel. Even though I don't think Lee was interested in that, he pushed for it, and that was a huge success for Marvel in the 70s. And then he brought Star Wars and pushed for it, and you know, they were going to pass. And they, what they ended up doing was they made a really, I guess it was kind of an unbalanced contract with Lucas, in that, you know, really they weren't going to get anything. Lucas wouldn't get much out of it unless the book hit 100,000 issues. Because it was the first book, the first, Star Wars was released, the Star Wars film was released on May 25th, 1977, right? Well, April 12th, the first Star Wars comic came out. So a whole month before, and needless to say, it was a huge success. It ran for over 100 issues from 1977 to 1986, and then Dark Horse picked it up in the 90s, and they ran for 838 issues. And then Marvel got it back after the Disney acquisition of Marvel in 2009. And then they acquired Lucasfilm in 2012. And then Marvel started publishing Star Wars comics again in 2015. So in the last year, couple of years, Dark Horse has lost Conan and Star Wars back to Marvel, who had them in the 70s. And Jim Shooter credits the Star Wars comics with saving Marvel financially in 77 and 78 because they were in really bad shape. And I think, you know, looking back, Roy Thomas deserves a big amount of credit for helping bring these two books to Marvel because it really helped them out. And they were really big. Big stories. And so yeah, that's kind of a little bit of backstory on that. Roy Thomas wrote the first 10 issues from 77 to 78. Then Archie Goodwin picked it up and did 11 to 23. He did this issue that I'm looking at today. And he did other titles up to, looks like he did 25 to 45, 47, 50, 98. It's just a really good run for Marvel. And so, okay, now since I've given a little bit of background about the history of Star Wars comics, just a little bit, I'm no expert by a long shot. It's kind of using this kind of as a way to educate myself and share some stuff I've learned. I'm going to kind of get into the book and go over it. I didn't know what to expect when I got this. I was really interested in reading it. I don't know if I've read a lot of the Star Wars comics back then, because I just got, when I was a kid, I'd just get while I was on the spinner rack at the grocery store. And so it just varied from time to time. I'm sure I did get to read some of them. And jumping into the book, I'm going to kind of talk about the story and then kind of talk about some of the other extra content in it. You open it up on the inside cover. It's an advertisement for the Bad News Bears Go to Japan, if y'all remember that series of movies. And but getting into it, the story, it's the Hunter. And you open up and here is the bad guy in the book is Valance. I think it's, let's see, Beerlet Valance, I think is the name of him. He's a bounty hunter. Baylert. B-I-L-E-R-T Valance. Baylert Valance is how I'm going to pronounce it. Probably wrong. I don't know. But, you know, you learn really early on that he's a bounty hunter. He has a whole team of bounty hunters that he leads on and makes a lot of money doing different missions, catching people. And he also, you learn on real quick here, he really hates droids. So he's this mercenary guy, and it opens up. He's attacking with his band of galactic mercenaries, a raid on what is a medical station that's mostly manned by lots of droids. And he tells his crew, fast, now I want a clean sweep, no survivors. And this is a raid he's doing by himself. He's not getting paid. He's paying his crew of mercenaries out of his own pocket. And you'll find out later why. And so he goes in and he's going through the station and they're just destroying everybody, all the robots. There's a on the second page, there's a robot that kind of reminds me of some kind of is a droid that reminds me of C-3PO a little bit. And so this attack is happening, and the robot goes, "Good grief, there must be some error. This facility is neutral. Even the Empire," and then Valance just blows him up. "Shut up, junk," he says. And it says Valance experiences regret. There's no time to enjoy the shooting because he's junk all his life. He's hated mechanicals, servile circuitry competing with men. The attitude is common among most organics in the galaxy, but few share the unrelieved intensity of Valance's feelings. So he's going through, they're destroying this, and one of his assistants finds this old man who's on his deathbed, and they hear him saying, and this is a flashback to issues 8 to 10, where you first see Jackson, I believe, and this is a character that's in it, and he's laying there, and they hear him say, "You bring my lightsaber?" Question. "Good. Then Don Juan Kenote is ready." That's the name of the guy. Don Juan Kenote is ready. "Ready to fight again, Han Solo. What a team we were. Your Wookiee friend, the lovely Amaza, Jackson, the Lepus Carnivorous, and of course the boy and his droid." And they hear this, and Valance goes, "Oh, this has to be a reference to Luke and Han Solo and them." And there's a big bounty out because they destroyed the Death Star, and everybody's looking for them. The Empire would pay a good price for them. So he kind of follows some clues that are given here and sets out to go try to track down and capture Skywalker and Solo and all the team. And then you get to shift to Jackson, a man-sized meat-eating green rabbit should be easiest to find. And here's Jackson. He wears a red jumpsuit with yellow and then some white shoulder pads on it, white gloves. And his partner in this is this lady named Amaza. And of course, in true 70s fashion, you're going to have this kind of rough and tough gambler heroine, and of course they dress her in a red bikini, which makes sense, right? That's one of the turnoffs of the book. Anyhow, Jackson gets tracked down by Valance, and they string him up, and they're trying to find out what happened. He's like, "Once you name the planet where you served with Han Solo and the boy with the droids, they'll let him go." And Jackson's like, "Sorry, Baldy, I don't think on friends." And this other guy goes, "Now I can hurt him, right, Fudd?" "Of course, Daffy. That's why we put the agony inducer on his ear." So they start torturing him. "Name the planet, Rabbit. Our leader, Captain Valance, is waiting, and there's unimaginable bounty at stake." So they're torturing him. And then here comes Amaza, and she starts to save the day. And she's rescuing Jackson and says, "Some fun, eh, Fuzzy? Like being back on a Duba 3 with Han and the gang." And Jackson goes, "Oh, no." And, of course, there's still a part of the Valance's crews around and hears this. And he runs off and tells Valance where to go. Jackson and Amaza jump on his ship, the Rabbit's Foot, which looks a lot like the Millennium Falcon. And, in fact, throughout the book, Jackson reminds me a lot of Han Solo. It's almost like they used him just to tell extra stories for a little while here. Let's see. He lands on a Duba 3, and the boy that the guy was actually talking about was a friend, and they've drawn this guy, and he looks a little bit kind of like drawn like Luke, and it's him and his wife and all their crew and friends. And they apparently were in the early series of books earlier on, and so Valance is mistaken. The Starhoppers, that's the group of guys that Jackson runs with and the people on Aduba 3. He mistakes those for the rebels, and so they're going to go try to find the farm boy. Here is his name is Jim Doshin, and they think he's Luke Skywalker, so they're going to go there and try to capture him and get the big reward. And of course, there's always through the book, Valance is always, of course, looking for droids to destroy. So Valance goes off to find the boy, Jackson and Amaza. Her name's Amaza Foxtrain. and they figure out that his plan is to go to Aduba 3. So he rushes off to warn Jim that the bounty hunters are after him, and they try to set up a trap. A battle ensues, and most of the gang of mercenaries are killed because they trick them into an ambush. So the three Starhoppers kill most of those bad guys. And then it's only Valance that's left. He's the lone survivor. And he realizes that it's the wrong boy the whole time. But there's a trick. There's a surprise at the end. It looks like he's unarmed. They've caught him. They're going to, I guess, take him into custody. But he's talking, and the surprise is he has a cybernetic arm. And he has a gun in it. And he shoots at him. And jumps off on his ship, the kill switch, and escapes. Oh, but I kind of jumped ahead there. Earlier on in the book, you find out that the reason that Valance was even attacking that base earlier, the medical station, was because he had once been a stormtrooper and had been seriously injured, and he was going to erase any record of him so that he would be free once and for all, just to run around as a bounty hunter and destroy. He said Valance's own mind drifts back to his last moments serving the Empire in an outworld skirmish, moments when his career as a stormtrooper officer of ruthless promise was ended by a rebel serial torpedo. He survived the blast, but by a margin so narrow the retreating Imperials left him at the Telos 4 medical station to die. Instead, to his own regret, he was saved at a price, the knowledge he could never again stand with pride in the Empire's ranks. And he says, but that's the past. I've destroyed that. Now there's the boy and his droids. So then there's another beautiful panel that has Princess Leia, Han, and Chewbacca at the top with the Death Star behind them, and they're just blasting their guns. In the center is Darth Vader fighting Obi-Wan. The bottom is C-3PO and R2-D2. And it says, the same hate he felt on first viewing the tape taken from a rebel spy slain by his men. It is an illegal dupe of an Imperial transmission in details. The incredible escape of Senator and Princess Leia Organa from the Death Star. That one participant, Han Solo, had a price on his head. Interested Valance, as did the hint that Sith Lord Darth Vader was soundly tested by a strange unknown old man. But it was the boy who fired Valance's fury, for his part was done with the cooperation. Indeed, the friendship of two droids, the tape images fade. Then it jumps back into the story, and that's when they get to the planet and they're attacking. There's a battle in space. Jackson lands, and they set up the trap, and like I said, they wipe out the team. Valance escapes by sending a blast from his cybernetic arm. That was a surprise. And while in the fleeing craft's cockpit, Valance claws compulsively at his face. He's scratching the left side of his face. I underestimated them. Should never have had to use the arm. But I did it swiftly. My secret should be safe. And a terrible secret it is for a robot hater, living with the fact that at the Telos 4 medical station, half his body was replaced by cybernetic parts. Terrible for being a cyborg. Only makes Vance, it says, more determined that the hunt shall go on. And then it says, the next issue, the Empire strikes. And the last panel is all the skin falling off of his hand, his left hand, to reveal a robotic arm, and his left side of his face is a robotic face that's melded into his body. So yeah, it was a fun read. I probably didn't do very good justice in my skipping around summary here, but it's a lot of fun, and I want to go back and read more of them. And another thing I like is just looking at the advertisements. You got the Everybody Loves Icy Bear. And you could send in and with points and get a bear bag, a bear notebook, beach towel, jacket, all this stuff. With 800 points and 750, you could get a bear bag. You could get a bear bank for 275 plus 300 bear points. Slim Jim, beef up your t-shirts. You could order a t-shirt. There's the Adventures of Grit Boy. in here. And then these other classic ads, be a skilled locksmith. What if I'm laid off? What will automation take my job? Am I too old to change jobs? Can I learn a new skill? Will my job ever pay more? And it's a half page ad to go learn how to be a locksmith and your life will be changed. And then, of course, you can order a switchblade comb, a pocket spy scope, and it shows a guy with a little scope looking at some lady on the beach. Creepy. A mini skull flashlight, a mini pistol, a money maker where you can print your own counterfeit money, a mini spy camera, free hypno coin so you can hypnotize people. And the next page is a strong arms, only $3.98, nothing else to buy. And you can look like Charles Atlas, basically. And then there's the star word section at the very end with letters into the Marvel team. And send for the Marvel superheroes. At last, our Titanic top titles are available on special offer at Super Savings. And you can order the issues. And you can get, if you order three, if you ordered three of these titles, you get a free subscription to Star Wars, which would have been a pretty good deal, if you ask me. Send $4.50 for your first subscription and pay only $4 for each additional title you pick. I wish they'd bring back subscriptions like that. And then there's more ads in the back. Barely can read them. You need a magnifying glass for them. You can get a Hercules wristband for $1.25. A 7-foot life-size ghost that you can control. What the heck is that? Another automatic switch action cone. I remember people having those switchblade combs. Because you got a, if you're really cool if you got a switchblade knife that actually is a comb. And anyhow, I've enjoyed reading this. I loved it. And I want to go back. Hopefully, maybe Dave has some of them, and maybe in a trade or something like that I can borrow from him. If not, I'll try to get them from Comixology, or maybe I can find some of these elsewhere. Official belt and buckle, Star Wars, only $4.98. Camelot Comics, Super Comic Catalog, $2. Houston, Texas. Another muscular arms can be yours. Yet let Mr. USA show you how to build a super physique in this easy-to-follow course. So, there's a little bit of Star Wars history, comic history. I want to thank Paul for sending me these books. And that was kind of an inspiration. I hadn't done a reading room for a while. Been busy and really been backed up on my reading. I've been reading a lot. I just haven't been finishing much. And so, yeah, this is fun. I'm going to kind of do this with a few more of the titles I got as I go along. And try to just learn some more, enjoy some more, and kind of share some of the things I find. The fun ones like this, I'll share. I have been reading. I finally did finish my Audible audiobook of Ready Player One before the movie came out. The movie, Dave and I went to see the movie, and I'm sure this is going to come out after we record our next episode, and we'll talk about it. But the movie is not made for people that love the books. Let's just say that. In my opinion, I enjoy the movie. It's really well made. I had some minor issues with some things, but it's fun. My wife, who hadn't read the book, loved it, thought it was great. And so, yeah, but we'll have talk a little bit more about that. It's they basically use the Ready Player One as an idea to make a movie that doesn't. It loosely follows the premise of the book. You're not going to find in the movie is a lot of the things that I love. This the nostalgia overload. I mean, it's an action movie, adventure movie, and it's good. Then I started my next book. I started on Audible was the Star Wars Last Jedi Expanded Edition audiobook. And Dave is right. You are fully immersed in, it's almost like you're in a movie because the sound effects are spectacular. And I'm really enjoying it about halfway through that. And I'm still working my way through Leviathan Wakes, the Corey novel for the Expanse series. Loving it. More on that later. It's just a lot of fun stuff. A lot of good books out there to read that I can't keep up with. I've read the first issue of Mind Management recently. And so yeah, I've been busy reading. Maybe I should just focus on one book at a time and try to get done with it instead of jumping from one to another. One more thing. Paul and I are recording our own podcast called Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World, we've got the first issue or episode done. Hopefully sometime this month we'll release it. They're longer episodes. We're recording them in stages when we have time together. Yeah, so once a month they'll be coming out. And it's just us kind of throwing things back and forth, ideas, things we love, things we're interested in, questions we have for one another. We've recorded two already. But it's going to be monthly. It's been fun getting to talk with him and hang out with him instead of just having to message back and reading stuff. It's actually nice to have a conversation. So hopefully that be looking for that. And yeah, this is a long rambling look at Star Wars. And I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know at 2BT. That's at the number 2, capital B, capital T, show on Twitter. And 2BT show at gmail.com. And let us know if we're doing okay. Or if you have any questions or suggestions or anything you want to hear. And adios. That's it.
Terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.